Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading at verse 12. The first 11 verses are the beautiful teaching of the mind of Christ, His humiliation and humility, and that God has highly exalted Him, and that we are to have the mind of Christ within us. We'll begin to read at verse 12 in the chapter, Philippians 2, and our text is from verses 19 to 24. Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation or honor, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." May God bless the scriptures to our hearts. Let's just reread our text a moment at verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly to you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are made by divine grace to be disciples of Jesus Christ, Christ calls us to self-denial. "If any man," said Jesus, "will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." As we belong to Jesus Christ, redeemed in his precious blood, you and I, each one, are daily and consciously to choose those things in our lives which will please Jesus Christ and put away our self and our pride and our self-interests. The Apostle Paul was supremely aware of this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 13 through 15, where he says, "The love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all means that we henceforth should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and is risen again." This call to self-denial, Christ's service, seeking the things of Jesus Christ over our own, is doubled when it comes to the offices of pastor and elders and deacons. A self-serving Christian, a Christian who's living for themselves alone, puts their own interests and time before others, is a contradiction in terms. A self-serving Christian, a self-serving minister, elder, and deacon is a dishonorable thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. When God calls you to be an elder and a deacon and a pastor, He issues a double call. Do not serve your own interests, but those things of Jesus Christ in the church. This does not mean that God does not give in His Word a dignity and honor to the offices of the church. We want to emphasize that this morning. The elders and deacons are not functionaries or facilitators in current terminology. They are not the elected board of this corporation. They are the representatives of Jesus Christ. According to Scripture, they have been sent by Him through the lawful call. So that a pastor may say, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, "As though God did beseech you," as a pastor stands in the service of God. And Jesus said in Luke 10, 16, "He that heareth you," that is those who He sends, "heareth me. And he that despises you, despises me. And whoso despises me, despises my Father who sent me." And so when an elder comes to us with the precious Word of God, and when they work for the well-being of the Church of God, then the very authority of Heaven's King is with them. And when a deacon comes with the words of Scripture, and when the deacon helps us in our needs, then it is Jesus Himself, His mercies, that are brought to us. So office bearers have an honored calling. And Paul says that in verse 29, "Receive him, a servant, therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such," that is elders and deacons and pastors, "in reputation," or in honor, because they serve the interest of Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that Jesus has sent elders and deacons into His flock with a robe and crown and scepter in their hand. But rather, as we know in John chapter 13, Jesus has given to His servants in the church for their work a towel and a basin of water to wash people's feet. The Apostle Paul is the great example of this also in our passage. In verse 17 and 18, the Apostle says to us that it would be his greatest joy that he could be poured out as a drink offering for the service of the church. In the Old Testament, a drink offering that he's referring to in verse 17, offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. A drink offering was wine or oil that was poured out upon the altar. That wine and oil is the fruit of labor, is valuable. And Paul says, "I want to be that drink offering. I want to pour out all of myself for your faith, and for your strengthening. And this is my joy. And then, because he explains in the passage that he's not able at this time to come personally to Philippi to help them and to serve, he will find one who he will send, his trusted brother Timothy. And of Timothy, he says, there is none like him. He is a self-denying man. He is a Christ-serving man. He is a church-loving man. And so I call your attention to this Word of God under the theme, self-denying, Christ-serving, church-loving servants. And the first thing we need to see this morning from the passage is that this must be reflected in the attitude that you assume toward your office, toward your calling, the attitude that you are to have with respect to your office. And note with me that in Philippians, we have an epistle of tender love between the Apostle Paul and the Philippian church. In fact, no other church does Paul speak such endearing terms. There was a very close bond. And we learn in the epistle that he was yet in bonds in the palace, that he was hopeful, his first imprisonment, he was hopeful to be released. But because he himself could not come, and because he loved this church so much, he would do the next best thing, so to speak. He would send Timothy, not as an individual, but he would send Timothy in an official capacity as a teaching elder or as a minister. And from this we gather that the presence of faithful office bearers, elders and deacons in our congregation, is the evidence of the love and the tender care of Jesus Christ for us. When God is pleased with His church, when God will reveal His love for the church, He will give to that church faithful office bearers. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, in that section on marriage, that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we get the evidence of how Christ will express His love for the church that He dearly loves. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 11, that He gave gifts to the church. And among those gifts are the offices of pastor, elder, and deacon. And so the blessing to us as a gathered congregation, what a blessing. What an evidence of the love of God to us. What joy is ours that God has given to us faithful office bearers, elders and deacons in our congregation. Timothy stands as an example, an exemplary, exceptional example of such an office bearer. Timothy stood out. He was exceptional. Paul says he was the closest of all the other servants to himself. In our text we read, I have no man so like-minded, so close to what I think. Timothy is mentioned 27 times in the New Testament. Romans chapter 16, verse 21, Paul refers to him as my work fellow. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1, 1, our brother. Philippians 1, verse 1, the servant of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2, my dearly beloved son. 1 Thessalonians 3, 2, minister of God. Timothy, you remember from the New Testament, was sent by the Apostle Paul on many sensitive and critical missions in the churches of Jesus Christ. And Paul, seeing him up close for so long a time, saw in him many graces, many attitudes, attitudes that were lacking in some of the other servants in the church, many graces for an office bearer, many things that Paul says ought to be emulated, ought to be followed. He was exemplary. And if I may pause just for a moment with respect to office bearers and pastor and with respect to all of us. Are you exemplary in your Christian life? Are you exemplary? Do you want to be exemplary as an office bearer? Maybe we hesitate and say, well, that sounds a little bit like pride. No, it's not. We don't want to be exemplary. We don't want to be the very best Christian that we can be. We don't want to say to others, follow my example as I seek to serve the Lord. Christians and office bearers want to live their life not for pride, but we want to be exemplary that others can see Christ in us. And Paul says, back to the passage now, Paul says that it was his attitude toward the office that was setting Timothy apart. Paul makes the sad observation concerning many of the servants. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. The reference there is among various servants in the employ of the church at that time, Timothy was contrasted to many who were seeking their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's a reference to office bearers. And so Timothy distinguished himself in two ways. There were many office bearers, Paul says, who are filled with a self-importance. They seek their own. That is, they approach the office given to them in terms of being lifted up above others, in terms of pride, which is a terrible sin, especially in the office. Perhaps it can be a minister with public gifts of preaching and teaching, complimented. And he begins to live upon the compliments of the people of God. And he begins to think in himself that he is somehow elevated from the people of God and that the church exists for him. He becomes all important. Or the office of deacon and elder becomes a honorary, a title, so that we think that we are more important than those whom we serve. Paul says there are many who are infected with that, he observes among his fellow workers. And this warning is a real warning for us this morning. And it's a warning because we're in our flesh. And we must constantly crucify that sinful flesh. There's never a moment in life that we are free from our pride. And just because we are involved in holy actions and duties, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden our pride goes to sleep. Our pride is with us in all that we do. It must be crucified. But these men were not only self-important. In contrast to Timothy, there were those in the church, says Paul, who did not seek the things that are Jesus Christ. That is, they did not have interest in the church. This is when the office and the duties of the office becomes an intrusion, or is felt as an intrusion, that we begin to view the office as an unwanted burden. Now be very careful. I am not talking about the office being a burden now, in the sense that when God truly works in your heart, you feel overwhelmed before the responsibility. And I pray, and I know, and I've seen that also in your eyes, I know that that is true of you, and I thank God for that, that you do not take your responsibilities lightly. In that sense, The office is a burden. And when it's a burden in that sense, and God says, but I'm going to give you grace, I'm going to work through you, I will use you. So I'm not talking in that sense. But the apostle is referring to those who became annoyed over the demands that their offices brought to them. He's talking about the attitude that was present, for example, in the days of Deborah and Barak. You remember that when Deborah and Barak were judges in Israel, the men of Israel had no heart for it. We're not willing to get so involved in it. We're not willing to put themselves out there for it. They were saying to Deborah and Barak, we're not sacrificing our times, and we're not going to hazard our lives for this. And so you read Judges chapter 5 when Deborah gives her beautiful poem about her judgeship. She says that there were many tribes in Israel who had great boasting. Oh, we'll be there. But they never showed up for the battle. And so, brethren, it is the devil's strategy to get a man to extend himself in the things of this life so that spiritual things no longer become central, that there becomes a sort of resentment toward the time that is required for spiritual things. That can be true of every one of us here, especially in our age of prosperity. And then with respect to an office bearer, that earthly pursuits and perhaps pleasures become more important than the responsibilities of the office and the things of this world. I'm talking about the things beyond our daily bread and our responsibilities in our homes. Those are things that we must take care of. But things related now to our ease and our own enjoyment in the armchair at night, which looks so good after a whole day's work, and now there are calls and meetings. There were many, Paul says, who looked at the office that way. But Timothy was different. By God's grace, he did not see it as a moment of self-exaltation. But Timothy, says Paul, saw it as a blessing to serve Jesus Christ, and he was willing. It was not a cost to him. He was willing to do that at his own expense. The things that were Jesus Christ were of primary interest to Timothy. His church, the glory of Jesus Christ in the body of the church this morning, the honor of Christ in the Reformed and biblical doctrines, the health and the soul of the Christian life, the godly life, the needs and the hurts of God's children, the young people and the children, especially the youth. These things Timothy did not shrug as indifference, but Timothy was geared toward those things. He spent his time in those things, the things that are Jesus Christ. He laid aside consideration of his own ease and rest for those things. He had the mind of Christ, which we read in the opening portion of that beautiful Philippians 2, who, though he was God, made himself of no reputation. For what? For us miserable sinners, and he served us. That gratitude to Christ dominated in Timothy's approach to the office, and he had compassion and care. I have no man who will naturally care for you, says the apostle, verse 20. Naturally care, not of himself, but the apostle means reflexive. God's grace, it was natural to him by God's grace. God had made Timothy such a man that it was reflexive in him to care for the church. That word care in our text is very interesting. it can be translated anxious. It's the very same word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 6 when he warns us repeatedly, take no thought for what you are to eat and drink for tomorrow. Don't become gripped in anxiety. Do not be anxious about the future, says Jesus. God the Father will provide for you. Paul uses that word. Paul says Timothy cared. Not sinfully anxious, but he could become preoccupied with the things of the church. If he was married, sometimes his wife was wondering if he was listening to her at all because he was concerned. Sometimes he would not sleep. He cared. He cared about the church. This is what the church needs today. Jesus said that because of the apostasy that will be present in the end of the world, the love of many will grow cold. The church needs men who care in the love of Christ for His church, for His people, for His truth, and for the gospel. And are ready with the Apostle Paul to be poured out as a drink offering upon the faith, for the faith of God's people. The needs of widows, the needs of the aged, the needs of our young people and our children, the needs of our young couples and our young families, a looking out for them, a desire that they prosper and grow in the faith. These are the kind of men that the church needs. The apostle speaks also of Timothy's, not only his attitude toward his calling, but of his bearing toward the people, toward the congregation, how he approached people, how he approached the church. The apostle is talking about that as well. And on that point, related to that point, two things. First of all, one for the congregation. As a congregation, we need to be concerned this morning as well with our bearing, our approach, our attitude toward the office bearers. And here the Word of God also speaks to us beautifully and bluntly that we are to hold them in honor, as we read in this passage and as we read in Scripture, and that we are to have a teachable spirit and a receptive attitude toward our elders and toward our deacons, and that we submit to their rule and order in the church. Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and following, the apostle says that we are to hold them in great honor for their works' sake. So God calls us this morning to receive them. Receive them when they call on you, when they call you up. Look to them for spiritual counsel. They are Christ's servants. Use them to assist you. When they are called upon in the name of Jesus Christ to render judgments for the church as to the order of the church, render a charitable judgment upon them. If you have questions about their decisions, speak to them. Come to them. Don't speak about them, but come to them. And then also, related to the bearing toward the flock that Timothy had, which was so exemplary. Also, this point, I believe, needs to be made this morning. Timothy was so Christ-like in how he viewed the church. But there's also this aspect that's not covered in the text that must be your bearing. And that is, you must remember that you must stand. You must stand for the truth and the glory of God. Or put it this way, you are servants. That was his attitude. I'm the servant of the church. And you are also servants of God. And you must stand. You are appointed by the church. And this is what we want from you as church. We want you to stand in truth and in righteousness. And that when there is false, if there would be false teaching or ungodliness, that your voices will be heard, bringing us the Word of God, and that your feet will stand firm, not stubborn, godly, and that you will bring us God's Word, and you will say, but this is the way. Walk in it. And you must say to me, and you must say to all the dear flock of God, if I err, if I become ungodly, it is your calling from God to say something, to stand in this congregation for truth and righteousness. But Timothy now, his attitude toward the flock was Christ-like. He was not arrogant. He was not tyrannical. He was not pompous. He was not overbearing. This is never acceptable in the servant of the Lord. Peter says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder, feed the flock of God which is among you, not as lords of God's heritage, but as being examples to the flock. Not by manipulation. Not by my way or the highway approach. Not treating subordinates for our ends and purposes. Such conduct is repulsive in an elder, deacon, and pastor. Jesus said to the disciples, Matthew 20, verse 25, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion. You know how it works in politics. You know how it works in the corporate world. They want dominion. They want to have others do for them. They want to use people to climb the ladder. You know that. And that they that are great exercise authority. The point is to get to the place of authority. Viewing the office of elder as I need to be one, so I got authority. I become a somebody. But Jesus said, it shall not be that way among you. But he that is the greatest among you will be a servant. This is not a hypothetical danger. This danger remains within our flesh. Therefore, brethren, be wise. Not every issue is essential. And our self-importance can make minor matters very important. There may be differences of opinion on issues in the church, differences of approach. And worldly tactics must not be used to stamp out and quench other opinions that brethren honestly hold in their souls. The work of the elder and deacon is very difficult. Very difficult. We pray for them. It requires great wisdom and great humility. And therefore, we remind you that the key thing that you look for is maturity. We are instruments in the hand of Christ that the people of God may grow in maturity, that the body may grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there may become spiritual maturity in our young people, that they know not simply the externals, but that these things are in their heart and they become mature men and women of God who will stand in the truth and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we pray for our elders and for our deacons that God will equip them with all the tenderness and grace that they need. And so we need a Christ-like bearing. An elder, a deacon, and a pastor must say to the congregation, follow me as I follow Christ. Do as I do. And that also means that among ourselves, as elders and deacons and pastor, and God has blessed us with this, there must be unity. And there must be respect. We must show deference, respect to each other's opinions and thoughts as elders and deacons. And so finally, Timothy is the example of one who served the interest of the church. And to get at that point, when Paul says he will naturally care for your state, that is, your interests are on his heart, we ask the question, what is the goal for that Christ has placed you into the office? Why did he give these offices, and why this morning did he put you in those offices? Why? And I know of no passage which states the answer more concisely than what we find in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, says Paul, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. God has given us ministers, elders, and deacons that Christ may be formed in us. The apostle in Galatians chapter 4 says that he has travailed for this like a woman in labor. And maybe as a mother, you lift your eyebrow a little bit. How can a man know anything about that? Well, it's Holy Scripture. Paul says, that's the way it feels to me. I travail in those kinds of labors, painful, but for a great good. I would have it no otherwise. I travail until Christ is formed within the people of God, so that the people of God are grounded and rooted in the faith, and that Christ shines out of them. And then we may add, not only Christ in them, but our goal is that they may be with Christ. Or put it this way, our goal is the present sanctification of the church and the future glory of the church. That's why, that's the purpose for office bearers. Our sanctification, and that we be preserved to glorification. That Christ be in us, and that one day we be with Christ. That's the purpose of the offices. And for this, He has given elders and deacons and pastors. There is therefore no greater task, no more important task than this on the earth. And for this task, He gave us pastors, elders, and deacons. Serve those interests, the sanctification that they be like Christ, and the glorification that they be with Christ, that they be like Christ and with Christ in glory. Keep that. That's why. That's your interest. That's what you're after. That's the goal. Keep that before you. And to do that, you need to wear a shepherd's mantle. You need to dress like a servant of the Lord, which is not a suit. For a minister, it's not a collar. But the dress is spiritual. But they'll recognize it when you wear it. It's made out of the fabric of humility. It's woven together, each stitch, in love. That's a shepherd's garment. And then in your hand is the staff of the Word of God. When they see you look like that, clothed in humility, knit in love, with the Word of God in your hand, when they see that, they will follow you. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word this morning and for its truth. We thank Thee for these men, Thy gifts to us as elders and deacons. We rejoice that in this last hour Thou art yet pleased to give to us as Georgetown Protestant Reformed Church faithful men of God. We commit them to Thy care and keeping that they may be self-denying, Christ-serving, church-loving servants. Amen.